Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Newalta fourth quarter and year-end conference call and webcast. I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Stephanie McVicker, Director, Investor Relations. Ms. McVicker, please go ahead.
Thank you, John. Welcome to Newalta's fourth quarter and year-end 2012 conference call. On the call today, we have Al Kadot, President and CEO, Mike Borys, Executive Vice President and CFO, and Anne Plaster, Executive Director, Investor Relations. During the call today, Newalta may make forward-looking statements related to expected future performance. Such statements are based on current views and assumptions and are subject to uncertainties which are difficult to predict, including expected operating results, industry conditions, the availability of financing alternatives, debt service, and future capital needs. Certain financial measures that do not have any standardized meaning prescribed by IFRS or GAAP will be referred to during this presentation. These financial measures are identified and defined in Newalta's continuous disclosure documents. Please refer to our continuous disclosure documents as they identify factors which may cause actual results to differ materially from any forward-looking statements. I'll hand it over to Anne.
Thank you, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. Steep declines in the prices for our recovered products and reduced drilling activity in Western Canada dampened otherwise solid performance in the quarter and for the year. Most of the challenges we faced are dissipating and commodity prices are stabilizing. Returns from our 2012 capital and strengthening market demand are expected to drive improved results in the quarters ahead. And on Thursday, February 28th, we will hold our Investor Day in Toronto. This event will provide investors with an opportunity to learn more about our growth plans over the next 4 years from our executives and operating VPs. Please see our website on March 1st to download the presentation and listen to a webcast of the event. For today's call, Mike will highlight our financial results for the fourth quarter and year-end 2012, and Al will close with a discussion on our strategy and outlook for 2013. Mike?
Thank you, Anne. We had a challenging fourth quarter, but our business fundamentals are intact, and we realized strong performance in our key growth areas. Fourth quarter results were below our expectations as we outlined in our Q3 call due to three key factors. First, we experienced a sharp decline in recovered crude oil and base oil prices in the latter part of the quarter, directly impacting our results. Differentials widened considerably, directly affecting the price of our recovered crude. Conventional and heavy oil prices were down 22% and 37% respectively between the end of October and the end of the quarter, and base oil prices fell by 7% in the quarter. Second, we experienced a decline in drilling activity in Western Canada, with active rigs down 28% compared to last year, which was much further than we anticipated. This resulted in a reduction in drill site equipment utilization from 68% in Q4 of 2011 to 36% in Q4 of 2012. These two factors accounted for over half of the shortfall to management's expectations for the quarter. And third, an early winter freeze-up in Fort McMurray resulted in production delays and reduced our expected MFT processing volumes. We expect to see most, if not all, of these volumes recovered in 2013. Fourth quarter revenue was up 8% year-over-year to $198.4 million. Adjusted EBITDA was 9% lower due to commodity price impact and lower drilling activity. Net earnings decreased to $4.1 million compared to $6 million in Q4 2011. Adjusted earnings per share was down to 17 cents for the quarter after normalizing for stock compensation expense and a gain on embedded derivatives. Excluding the commodity price impact, adjusted EBITDA would have been $38.4 million. For the year, revenue increased by 6% to $726.2 million and adjusted EBITDA decreased by 3% to $142.1 million. Net earnings improved by $9.2 million compared to last year, driven by lower finance charges, the gain on embedded derivatives, and lower taxes. Total debt to adjusted EBITDA increased from 2.35 to 2.41 in Q4 2012. For the full year, excluding the commodity price impact, adjusted EBITDA would have been $155.5 million. SG&A before stock-based compensation was $19.5 million in Q4, or 9.8% of revenue, and $74.3 million or 10.2% for the full year. We continue to target SG&A to be about 10% of revenue. Moving to operational highlights, in the facilities division, Q4 2012 revenue decreased by 1% and gross profit declined by 17%. Western facilities efficiency gains were offset by the impact of reduced oil field activity a 14% decline in Edmonton Par, and a 22% decline in Motiva base oil pricing. At our eastern facilities, increased volumes at our Stoney Creek landfill compared to last year positively impacted performance. For the quarter, VSC, built in Catherine volumes were in line with the quarterly average at 17,600 metric tons, but below last year's volume of 19,800 metric tons. Revenue was up 14%, mainly as a result of a shift towards direct sales and higher LME prices. In Q4, the lagged LME price increased 4% compared to last year, which was more than offset by an increase in procurement costs. As expected, Stoney Creek volumes were up over Q4 2011, and it reached its full capacity of 750,000 metric tons. For the year, facilities division revenue and gross profit decreased 4 and 6% respectively compared to 2011. Increases in recovered oil volumes, up 16% year over year, combined with gains we made with efficiency improvements in Western facilities, were offset by reduced oil field activity. In Eastern facilities, performance excluding Stoney Creek was up 6%. For the year, Stoney Creek was at the maximum permitted capacity, but was lower than last year due to receiving a one-time contingency in 2011, which allowed us to take volumes over the permitted capacity. Overall, facilities was impacted by the lower value received for our recovered product, reducing gross profit by $11.8 million. Excluding this impact, gross profit for the division would have been 5% higher than 2011 and 24% of revenue. The on-site division delivered strong results for the quarter with growth in heavy oil contracts and contributions from U.S. projects. Revenue and gross profit increased by 26% and 5% respectively. Strong demand for our contract and project services was impacted by the decline in the value of recovered products of $1 million and reduced waste volumes at our heavy oil facilities. Lower drilling in the WCSB resulted in much lower utilization rates for drill site, negatively impacting on-site performance. Through 2012, on-site delivered strong results. For the year, revenue and gross profit increased 28 and 19% to $280 million and $69.7 million respectively, generally consistent with our plan. Increased contract and project activity more than offset the impact of lower drilling activity and lower value received for recovered products. Capital expenditures in 2012 were $172.3 million, $17.3 million above our Q3 guidance of $155 million. The majority of the increased spending in the quarter was attributed to growth capital. Total growth capital spending of $137.4 million was 59% higher than 2011 and related primarily to processing equipment for contract work in our heavy oil business and facility and service expansion in Western facilities, including building a new oil field satellite facility. Included in the growth capital spend was $12 million. For technical development, higher than we expected for the year, as we completed a great deal of work progressing new technologies and gaining traction. Driven by the ongoing success of heavy oil on-site and our U.S. expansion, we reorganized our business into three new divisions in order to provide a dedicated market focus to unlock the next level of growth. We think the new division structure will provide better information to investors. Looking at our performance in the quarter from the perspective of these new divisions, New Markets gross profit was up $4.3 million despite lower crude oil price and lower waste volumes, with performance driven by on-site contracts and projects. Oil field gross profit was down $4.8 million. Facilities performance was offset by commodity price impacts and reduced equipment utilization due to lower drilling activity in Western Canada. In the industrial division, gross profit was down $3.3 million due to lower volumes at VSC and Motiva pricing impacts on North Vancouver. We think the new structure will provide new insights into the business, and we look forward to reporting fully in this manner in the first quarter. In 2013, we will invest $190 million to drive strong growth in the years ahead. Growth capital expenditures of approximately $155 million are comprised of $70 million for the New Markets Division, $40 million for the Oil Field Division, $30 million for the Industrial Division, and $15 million for technical development and corporate investments. Maintenance expenditures will be approximately $35 million. Our growth capital budget is 10% higher than 2012 and is driven by our extensive inventory of low-risk, high-return organic growth projects. We expect that about 40% of the capital budget will be spent in the first half of the year. As in past years, we will continue to review capital allocations based on optimizing our returns and prioritizing contract-driven capital. We expect to see full returns from our 2012 capital in 2013. This, together with strengthening markets, is expected to drive improved results in the quarters ahead. In the first half of 2013, we anticipate ongoing strength across our three divisions, while continued short-term fluctuations impact the prices received for our recovered products. To date, conventional and heavy oil commodity prices have increased 19 and 22% from where they were in December. However, despite the recent positive trending, compared to Q1 2012, conventional and heavy oil prices to date are down 9% and 24% respectively. In Q1 2013, new markets activity levels should be consistent with Q4 2012 and be able to offset any impact of commodity prices on revenue for recovered oil. The MFT contract will begin contributing to results in the second quarter. For oil field, we expect drilling activity in Q1 2013 to be about 10% lower than Q1 2012, even though we've had the recent rebound in active rigs. And for the industrial division, we are expecting VSC, Stony Creek, and North Vancouver operations to be in line with seasonal norms. So far this year, base oil is 24% lower than Q1 2012. I'll now ask Al to discuss the strategy and outlook for 2013.
Thank you, Mike. In 2012, we made significant progress in the execution of our long-range plan, preparing us to capitalize on future opportunities to grow our business in 2013 and beyond. In 2012, we increased our long-term on-site contract revenue base to 9% of total revenue, up from 3% in 2011. We established a leadership position in the area of MFT processing, which may lead to additional contract work. We grew our U.S. revenue by 25%. We aligned the organization into three new divisions to enhance customer service and to support our key growth areas. We strengthened the organization through talent development programs and the addition of new talent, growing our employee base by 10% to over 2,200 people. We invested $137 million to drive growth in 2013. We increased the dividend by 25% compared to 2011, and we completed a $77 million equity offering to strengthen our balance sheet. Over the past 6 months, we have received four awards for excellence. They include regional, national, and international awards for customer service, innovation, employee diversity, and financial and sustainability reporting. We are proud to be recognized by our customers and our peers. Looking ahead to 2013, I see us well positioned for growth in markets that hold tremendous potential for us. Our markets continue to improve, but progress remains choppy, as would be expected. We have the financial capacity, including the proceeds from the recent equity financing, to weather short-term fluctuations in commodity prices and market demand. Potential in our key growth areas remains unchanged. Our business fundamentals are strong, and we remain on plan. Our growth capital budget for 2013 is $155 million. In new markets, we will continue the dynamic growth of both the Canadian heavy oil business unit and the U.S. business unit. Over the past 2 years, we have doubled revenue and gross profit in this division. In oil field, we will build off our already strong presence in the market. And in industrial, we will leverage our existing facility base to build out our on-site project and long-term contract business to a broad base of Canadian industries. The dividend paid to investors is determined by the board after consideration of such things as recent results, market strength, the outlook for the business, and capital investment opportunities. As we did in 2012, the board will review the dividend at the May meeting. Thank you very much. We'll now take your questions.
Thank you. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset and then press star 1. You may cancel your question by pressing the pound sign. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while participants register. Thank you for your patience. First question is from Rupert Mayer from National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning, Rupert.
How much of an impact did the cold weather have on your MFT production in the quarter? And will this business be very seasonal going forward?
Rupert, it's Mike. It did have an impact in terms of what we had expected to process. We do feel, as we mentioned, that we could recover those volumes, certainly over the term of the contract, but we do expect that we'll be able to recover in 2013. So it's more of a timing issue. In terms of seasonality, we would expect to get most of the processing done in Q2, Q3, and then a little bit into Q4. So at this point, it's still not seen as a 12-month project or contract to process the MFT. But for the most part, Q2 and Q3 will be the heavier quarters where we see the impact.
Okay. And do you have any updates on what the average annual revenue will be from that business?
Yeah, we haven't disclosed it. It would have gone up from the initial announcement when we first came out and said we were spending between $25 and $30 million in capital. At that point in time, we had indicated $60 million revenue number over the term of the contract. As we've been providing updates on capital through last year, you would note that our capital is probably approximately $50 million. In terms of what we've now spent on Syncrude, so around that number. And the returns are remaining in line with where we would have targeted them before. So revenues will be up, but we haven't really given that level of detail.
Okay. But it sounds like Q1, you wouldn't expect much of the business to fall in Q1.
No, not at all. And we had a little bit of business. We had some design and engineering work in Q1 of last year. It wasn't material. But we did have something. We won't have anything in Q1 of this year. It'll really get going in Q2 and Q3.
Okay, and then just finally then, so you had some declines in heavy oil and Western facilities related perhaps to drilling volumes. Can you give a little more color on how the activity shaped up relative to expectations? Are there any particular areas, either geographic or business lines, where you may have seen greater softness?
Most of the declines were driven by equipment rental. There tends to be more, so this will go across the on-site. I got to be careful I don't mix up with the new divisions we've got. But with respect to our on-site division, most of the drilling impact would have been realized against our equipment rental business, where there tends to be more of a direct impact. So that played a role in terms of where our expectations were. It played a role in terms of the 28% decline year over year in active rigs between the quarters. Facilities in oil field, the facilities in heavy oil, actually performed very well. You'll also note for both heavy oil and for conventional oil, recovered oil volumes continue to stay up. They've grown. We would typically have spoken in previous calls and in previous years to about a 400,000 volume of oil recovered between heavy oil and conventional. Through the year, it has been moving up, and again in Q4, it was up despite the drop in rig activity. We still picked up another 15-16% increase year over year. So the new normal is, you know, getting closer to between 450,000 barrels and 500,000 barrels. Some of that is actually being helped by certainly in 2012 was helped by a new satellite facility that we had commissioned in late 2011, and we're seeing the full impact in 2012. So that did have an impact, and we're looking forward to opening our next satellite facility in the first half of 2013.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from Rob Hope from TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Maybe just as a follow-up to that question regarding on Western and heavy oil waste volumes, was the decline in the quarter primarily attributable to drilling-related waste, or did you see some production-associated waste move to, competing facilities?
Yeah, a little bit would have been off the drilling activity, but between heavy and conventional, and we'll continue to look at our data, and it supports this. We get the bulk of our waste volumes from production-related activity. So approximately, we've spoken about 75%, and that remains true. So again, the production component really came through in our results, because if you, and I'll, as an example, I'll shift back to conventional on the oil field side. We did well with respect to conventional when you back out the impact of commodities. The facilities were able to more than withstand the impact of commodities and reduce drilling, even though waste volumes would have come down. Again, it comes back to that whole mix of the mix of waste. We do better with respect to pricing for higher oil content and higher solids content in the waste that we get. So, again, we had, difficult to say it given the numbers we've posted, but we actually had a strong quarter when you begin backing out the latter impact in the quarter from commodities and base oil and the rig activity being down as dramatic as it was in Q4.
All right, thanks for that color. Maybe moving on to a different direction. Just looking at the lead market, what was driving the higher procurement costs at VSC?
Higher procurement costs is going to be driven not so much by VSC. It'll be overall market dynamics. So we would have seen the same thing as we've noted in our release. LME was up about 4%, and procurement costs continued to go up. I would point to what industry observers are saying, which is dynamics do appear to be improving as we move into 2013 with respect to supply of feedstock, as well as where LME prices are going. LME prices have moved up. They moved up from Q4, from Q3 to Q4. So we're anticipating the dynamics to improve in the overall industry. I guess that'd be the color that I would provide to you.
Great. Thank you for the answer.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Neil Forster of Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Neil.
Just a question on the margins. They were quite a bit lower despite revenues that were flat sequentially and up year over year. And, in the release, you've talked about that you attribute that to weaker oil prices and reduced drilling activity. But if I look at Western facilities, for example, volumes were flat sequentially versus Q3, and crude oil sales were actually up. So I'm wondering how we reconcile that. Is it more of a mix issue, or were there temporary factors at play? And, maybe if you could talk about what the prognosis for margins are moving forward.
Yeah, in Western facilities, the bigger impact between Q3 and Q4 would have actually been Ville St. Catherine. So the increase in revenues would have been VSC, so I think revenues were up about $20 million or so Q3 to Q4. And what happened in terms of impacting margins is Ville St. Catherine was weighted more towards tolling in Q3. The volumes were also low. I think we had 12,000-something metric tons in Q3. We moved up to 17,600 metric tons in Q4. And what we had at play that would have impacted margins is a lot of what we did in Q3 was tolling, wouldn't necessarily have been susceptible to where procurement costs were. And then we moved into Q4. As we mentioned in the MD&A, it was more heavily skewed towards direct. We ended the year close to 50-50. We always say that we tend to close out the year pretty close to 50-50 between direct and tolling. But because of those two quarters being almost diametrically opposed in terms of where tolling and direct was, that played a key role in impacting margins when you look at Q3 versus Q4. I don't know if that answers your question.
Right. So, my follow-up question is on VSC, so maybe it'll clarify it a bit here. So, as you mentioned, revenues were higher than I expected, and, you're mixed towards direct sales. In a rising price environment, I'm assuming would have helped that. So,
revenue would have been up sequentially because of the higher volumes and the fact that LME prices were higher. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So I guess, what was the direct to tolling mix in the quarter, and how do you expect that to trend moving forward? And, I assume a big part of that is just the pricing difference from when you acquired the batteries and when you sold the lead. So at what point do we start dipping into kind of the higher priced inventory and kind of see that margin spread compress?
Yeah, we'll give out we'll give out where we tend to be for the year, and I think historically what we've said is as long as we're tracking towards the 50-50, we'll leave it at that. So I won't get into what were we in Q3 or Q4. Directionally, you know, what I've conveyed is we're more tolling in Q3, we're more direct in Q4. But that comparison of because you're charging different prices when you're at direct, you're taking advantage of the higher lead prices, but you're also going to be absorbing the commodity impact from procurement. So you have more of a direct, regardless of where procurement costs are, you'll have more of a direct impact against where you would be otherwise with tolling, which is just a fee for service. So I think I know from looking at our own numbers that explained the margin piece from our perspective.
So you had higher procurement costs and that weighed on margins. Is that?
It would, yeah, absolutely. Because in Q3 you have more tolling happening. So your revenues are on lower volumes. Your revenues are much more skewed towards fee for service. So there tends to be more of a straight flow through. Whereas you're dealing with the commodity impacts and rising procurement costs in a quarter where you're much more weighted towards direct costs.
That's helpful. And then just in terms of drilling versus production waste, you know, is it have we kind of underestimated the stability of production-related waste volumes? And is that kind of what happened in the quarter?
I think Mike, in answering an earlier question, pointed out that the impact of reduced drilling was on our drill site equipment, and our facilities business was basically flat. Even though there was a dramatic, year over year, even though there was a dramatic decline in drilling, the oil field facilities delivered about the same results as they did in the prior year. So there was some reduction in waste volume attributable to the reduced drilling activity, but that was offset to a degree by the growth capital that we had put in the business to build, for example, one new satellite. So in the short answer to your question is I don't think we have, or you have not underestimated the stability of that business. It is, in fact, quite stable and not really impacted, even though there's tremendous swings in drilling.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. The next question is from Brian Butler from Wonderlake Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking the questions.
Morning.
Just starting out, when you think about your 2013 outlook and your longer term kind of compounded annual growth of 15 to 20% going to 2016, when you look at 2013, what kind of improvements do you guys need to see on utilization and oil prices to get to that level of growth in 2013? And how much growth can you guys achieve, you know, if things don't improve, just on the capital investments that you made in 2012?
First off, you'll note from the capital budget that half of our capital is being invested in the new markets division. And this is all existing waste management opportunities that we know well. Much of those investments will be driven by contract work, long-term contract work. And we don't need a growth in waste volumes to capitalize on those opportunities. And as Mike mentioned, we'll allocate capital. The first priority is contract work. And so while we have a budget which is 50% new markets and 50% combined industrial oil field, that may shift through the year depending on our success in securing new contracts. The same would be true of our other investments in oil field and industrial. They're primarily directed at markets and opportunities that we know very well and that we don't need a dramatic increase in drilling to go after. So another satellite, we're opening a satellite in the first half in oil field, And we will be constructing two other satellites this year, and they'll be opened in 2014 in areas that where drilling is particularly hot. So for most of the capital, we don't need the market to improve. The strategy remains intact, and we have the financial capacity to execute while some of the markets get a bit choppy. We will, of course, monitor the market very carefully and be very prudent in committing capital that is non-contract capital. But as we indicated, we see the markets improving. We're moving ahead with the plan, and we'll adjust as conditions require throughout the year.
Okay, but to think about if utilizations do not improve and crude prices stay where they're at right now, is a double-digit growth rate achievable? Is that possible?
Well, I think as I was trying to say, it won't affect the opportunities that we're investing in. It would affect our ability to fund those opportunities, and we may want to be somewhat cautious in some of them. But if half or a large portion of our capital is long-term contract, that's only reliance on our ability to finance. It has nothing to do with the market.
Okay. And then thinking about the recovered crude and the base oil price decreases, is there any way, you know, what's the right way to think, or is there a rule of thumb on a sensitivity basis on how big of an impact, you know, a change in heavy oil has on your guys' both top line and let's call it EBITDA results?
Brian, it's Mike. We do provide sensitivities in the MD&A. I don't have the exact page, but we do have a sensitivity for you on the impact on revenue for Edmonton Par. So for every dollar change in Edmonton Par, every dollar change in Bow River, which is our surrogate for WCS or Western Canada Select, and then we've also got a sensitivity there for Motiva, and then you'll be able to back into it. Historically, the prices we receive for our oil will typically be about 93% of Edmonton Par. So if you're tracking Edmonton Par, you'll have a good sense to where our average price received is. Versus Bow River, it tends to be about 85%. It'll move a few percentage points, but it tends to be around 85%. And in terms of Motiva base oil, I think we're also in the mid 80 mark in terms of how we track to it.
The only thing I would add to that is just interesting that base oil does not generally follow crude. And our base oil pricing is based on U.S. pricing. And the base oil dropped dramatically, but WTI stayed flat through the period, which is not unexpected. But to have the Canadian crude oil differentials widen dramatically simultaneous with base oil prices plummeting is quite a coincidence, I would say.
All right, great. Thanks. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from James Morrison from Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
On the MST contract, I know you said you can recover the lost volumes in 2013, but can you give us some sort of help in quantifying what the impact was on Q4? Like, maybe if you don't want to give revenues, like a percentage of the volumes you expected to treat that weren't as a result of the early freeze?
Yeah, I think just because of the customer and the confidentiality of the contract, we really are not to give out a ton of detail. We had indicated in Q4 we were going to have a strong quarter with MST processing. We did. It was absolutely a contributor year over year. The shortfall because of the early winter freeze up impacted what we had expected, what management's expectations were. For the numbers. So it was more of the additional upside we were expecting and anticipating, certainly when we had the Q3 call and we were providing an outlook.
Okay, fair enough. Can you give us some sort of sense as to how you see the first half panning out versus the second half of 2013 based on where differentials are right now and activity levels?
It's difficult to say We don't want to get into predicting where conventional price, where Edmonton PAR is going to go, where WTI, where the differential is going to go.
I'm not actually asking for that. I was more saying just assuming that they stay here for the next little while. Like if we assume that today is status quo for the first half.
You know, we do believe we're going, because of the timing of how the contracts are working, including the timing of how Syncrude will come on, the MFP processing contract in 2013, we would expect to have a stronger second half of the year. So just in terms of overall strength of the year or seasonality of the year, we'd expect Q3, Q4 to be stronger. Al talked about returns from capital as we look forward in terms of our spending. We do anticipate now take out the impact of commodities because we're not going to predict commodities
right.
or where rig activity is, but we do expect full returns from our capital that we invested in 2012. It comes back to the earlier point. Nothing's really changed. The fundamentals, everything that we've been doing, everywhere we've been putting capital in terms of new markets as well as our focus on contracts, none of that has changed. Our end markets haven't changed. We continue to feel bullish. But we're going to have, as we had in Q4, we're going to have noise. And the noise is commodity impact and any dramatic impacts in rig activity. We're happy to see rig activity has improved. I think we spoke about 35-40% improvement from where we were in December. So that'll impact overall drilling activity. I think we're getting a lot closer to where we were at the end of Q1 last year in terms of active rigs. And we've seen some rebounding of commodity prices, but we're still down below prior year. But the fundamentals of the business, as we've discussed, remain. So for that reason, we'll continue to look at the capital that we've spent and look to expect full returns from them.
Fair enough. So would it be fair to say then that you're expecting each quarter this year to be sequentially better?
We don't want to get into, and we were avoiding it in our MD&A, and some of that was, you know, a little bit of an impact from Q4. We don't want to get into too specific in terms of, you know, what's Q1 going to be versus previous year or versus Q4. So we'll leave it as we certainly anticipate having a stronger 2013 versus 2012, given the capital that we've invested. How much better will be impacted by do all the commodities come back? Do they stay where they are? And so on. But we'll get full returns from our capital.
I think just as a general comment, with the new information provided in the MD&A on the new divisions, the quarterly information and the annual information, I think is quite revealing in terms of the profitability of the new market division and the amount of capital we're investing in there. I think it was more than half of the capital last year, and it's budgeted at half of the capital for 2013. And in the business plan, we would expect through the plan period to invest about 60% of our growth capital in new markets. And most of that is stable, contract-driven cash flow. So I think when you begin to parse the new division and look at the history and the fact that we've doubled it in 2 years, and where we're putting our capital, I think it gives you a little more confidence on the outlook for even the second half of 2013.
And the, you know, we've talked about how we're prioritizing capital against contract driven capital. That doesn't restrict industrial or oil fields from getting contracts. And that really is going to become, or that has been a focus for 2000 and beyond for our business plan to remain focused on leveraging the asset base we have within oil field and industrial to get the kinds of on-site contracts that we received or that we've earned in the new markets area. And Eastern, you know, we've talked about, I know we're moving away from that division, but Eastern on-site has had a number of successive good quarters in terms of projects year over year in driving their on-site business. And I know the operators are quite optimistic about making some real gains on on-site contract work in 2013 and beyond. So big focus, and you'll hear a lot about leveraging our asset base, leveraging technology, and leveraging the ability to get on-site contracts in deploying that capital.
Right. Okay. Just two more quick ones, and I'll lump them together here. Can you give any color as to the split of how much work will be done on MFT between Q2 and Q3? And I think I just missed what you said to Rupert earlier about something will be 10% lower in Q1 23 versus Q1 2013 versus Q1 2012.
No, I think all I mentioned is we did have a small contribution from MFT in Q1 of last year. This year we won't have any contribution in Q1 of this year, so there'll be a slight year-over-year impact. The bulk of the processing will be in Q2 and Q3, so actual splits between Q2 and Q3, I won't.
Is it roughly even?
I won't.
Okay, I won't push anymore. Thanks, Ted.
You have to try.
I tried.
Thank you. The next question is from Raveel Azal from Mackey Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Questions for you regarding the status of the two heavy oil contracts that are currently not operating. Could you give us any update on those, when they might be operating by?
We're actually earning, and it's good, you raise a good point because I'll speak to it. We're actually earning revenue on those two contracts that are not yet in full operation. And we have one like that, and we've mentioned we have a multi-year arrangement in the U.S. in the Bakken, which we anticipate turning into a contract, but it's not officially yet a contract, and we're earning full revenues on that arrangement. So we're getting ourselves caught up, and we did this to ourselves last year, as we're tracking the number of contracts and when we've signed them, even though we may be earning revenues from them. So I think the more relevant measure for us going forward is speaking to contract revenue as a percentage of revenue. So back in 2011, it was closer to 3%. In 2012, we took that up to 9%, and those are the targets that will really track you, because the numbers actually will become less and less relevant when you think about what a typical contract would provide to us, and when you think about an MFT mature fine tailings contract and what that represents to us in each year. So one contract doesn't necessarily equal the average of all the other contracts.
Okay, thank you. And just with respect to the Investor Day, I'm wondering what sort of updates can we expect from the Investor Day that weren't provided in the MD&A?
So, Raveel, it's Anne. We did provide an overview of our strategy in the MD&A, and what you'll see and you'll hear from the operating VPs is more detail about that growth strategy. So each operating VP is going to speak to their business plan, and we gave the high-level numbers, new markets growth of 20% over 20%, oil field 15% growth, and industrial 10% growth. So they'll give you more detail on how they're going to achieve those growth targets.
It also just gives you a chance to see all of the operating VPs and hear from them, and analysts as well as investors will be able to ask questions of all of us. So I think that's a big objective or benefit of the Investor Day.
Great, thank you. And my final question, could you provide us with a little bit more details on the expansion in water recycling services? How exactly are you planning on going about that, and what are your targets?
Well, our technical development group has been reorganized, as I think we mentioned in prior calls. In 2012, the focus of the group on water treatment, water recycling, water recovery. And we have our eastern group of TD people working on industrial wastewaters, those that would be generated by iron and steel refineries, petrochemical. And our western TD group is focused on oil field wastewaters, including produced water, frack water. And we have our operating guys, operating VPs, plugged into the commercialization and innovation team. And we're trying to extract as many processes as we can to come up with the best available technologies for application on those various waste streams. And much of our work in 2012 was on water as well, including the pilot plant that we built. So I can tell you we don't have a solution for all wastewater management issues, but I think we're well ahead of anybody else in our industry. And we expect to make considerable progress in 2013. And we have mentioned that we anticipate commercializing two new processes every year. Obviously, from the focus of the group, we would expect that to be two wastewater processes in 2013.
Great. Thank you. That's all for me.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from Sarah Elford from Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just one question for me with respect to the new divisional or group disclosure that you've provided. One thing, I guess, that would make it, you know, more useful for me, and if you don't mind providing it at some point in the future, and maybe if not, tell me why, is the asset base, so the capital assets in each of those groups, for all of those periods. And the reason I ask that is the revenue and margins are one thing, but you know, I look at the Western, or the industrial side of things, including VSC and East and West. The margins there are lower. Revenue is obviously, you know, it's a decent level, but it would be, something that I could dig my teeth into if I could understand sort of the comparison and asset returns from each of those groups. I don't have it right now. I'd love it if you would provide it, but maybe just verbally comment a little bit on that right now. I mean, I would look at it and say either the margins in industrial have to go up, or alternatively the asset base is lower, and frankly the return on assets is as good as the other groups. Maybe you could comment on that for me.
Well, first off, we're always trying to provide better disclosure, and I think what you're asking for would be better disclosure, so we can do that.
Excellent.
I think what you're going to see, the only part I'm a little cautious of, what you're going to see, the return on our new markets division, I think you'll find surprisingly high.
Mm-hmm.
And the returns on the industrial division, modest, I guess. But we'll dig into that, and I think Mike would agree.
No, absolutely. I think we'll have the data. In fact, I think some of it was just a timing issue in terms of getting it into some of these tables. But I agree with Al. I mean, just given the returns we're getting from new markets and leveraging the fixed asset base, the returns, the margins are very high. The returns are very high. We're seeing some very good results in terms of the investments we're making. Oil field returns are actually quite high as well in terms of where the margins are. We're doing more work in terms of the capital we've been investing. And industrial, to Al's point, is lower. They have more of the mature asset base. But again, it comes back to this great competition for capital that we have. So we're not, as much as we say we've allocated capital, we haven't committed all of that capital. And a lot of that capital is going to go towards any of the divisions that can provide stronger returns and provide contract-type capital projects to give us that stability and high return.
Yeah, I guess that philosophically, you know, it makes sense to me that if your highest margins and highest returns are in, for example, new markets, you allocate capital there. But it comes back to what do you need to do within industrial to achieve better returns, and is some of that scale, and is some of that, you know, do you need additional assets to be able to do that? And if you starve it of those things, then you preclude yourself from getting to where you need to be, or is it really just market development and make better use of the assets you already have?
Well, I mean, we can discuss facilities for a moment. We have two big ones, North Vancouver and VSC, that stand apart. They're independent of the other network. The strategy always in industrial was to acquire permits and operations, then to upgrade them to our standards in terms of quality of asset, people, safety program, and so on. And then the next part of the strategy was to leverage those assets and people and get on-site contracts,
yeah,
which look a lot like new markets division in terms of return and stability. And that would improve the return on all of the industrial assets. You need the facility and infrastructure to go on, provide the people and equipment on-site.
Mm-hmm.
We have all of the backbone, but we don't have yet the high margin, high return leverage that we get from on-site contracts. So you hear a lot about that's our priority in 2013 and 14 for industrial. It's not about adding facilities or adding a new process or augmenting something. It's about getting on-site contracts that we can use.
And is it fair to say that the sales cycle in industrial for on-site is longer? And is that part? And is, I guess, is it fair to say that? And then secondly, if it is that the economy, or is that just the industries that you're serving? They're a little more conservative and maybe a little bit less inclined in that way.
Well, we didn't really get started. I mean, we started in the West because we had been here, we were experienced, we knew the market, knew the people, and had the network, infrastructure, safety program. So we started in the West earlier. We didn't really introduce even the concept into Eastern Canada, for example, until 2010.
Yeah.
And then, as Mike mentioned, the number of projects has increased every year. The customers are becoming more comfortable with us. We're becoming better known. We're understanding their waste challenges better. We're coming up with better solutions, more innovative. And our guys in the East are firmly believe that we're going to get real traction in 2013 on the contract area. So a couple of years, that's pretty normal. It was pretty normal out West.
Yeah.
The advantage we had out West is they knew us a little better. We had been here longer, and we had very experienced people. So it's been a process to go through. We're probably on track, I think.
Yeah, okay. That's very helpful. I appreciate it. And then just one other thing. Is there any – could you quantify maybe or maybe talk a little bit strategically about – I mean, I know you're moving more towards on-site. I know there's a goal towards more fee-for-service. I know you're trying to, in some ways, reduce your sort of direct commodity price exposure. I mean, it's they're big numbers, right, as these commodity prices swing around, and I don't think we're going to see any shortage of volatility in future years as well. How long is it? I mean, what's a practical split in terms of fee-for-service versus stuff where you really are more exposed to commodity price swings?
We don't, in the business plan, we do not expect any increase in the revenue derived from product sales. So over the next 4 years as we double the company, the impact of commodity prices would be halved.
Yeah.
And so that's really the plan. Build around it, build contracts, stable revenue, stable cash flow, and leave the product volumes flat.
Okay. And then, sorry, one final one for me. On the base oil side, I realize all of these markets have their own supply-demand dynamics, but that's just one that I have a hard time tracking on my own. What's going on there in particular that's causing some of the pretty dramatic moves that you're seeing?
Now, I don't have a great degree of certainty on this, but we understand that there is, with the slowdown in Europe, and the economy and the slower U.S. economy, that there's a bit of a surplus of base oil that might be looking at crossing the ocean, depending on the price of base oil in North America.
Yeah.
And so I think that has impacted, at least in the short term, the reduction in base oil pricing. And that reduction could be overdone.
Yeah.
So as to put up a block. And may come to more normal levels in the quarters ahead, but it may not go back to the highs that we saw earlier in 2012. So that's really my sense of it.
That's helpful. I guess that begs just a follow-on question on how you guys think about managing sort of inventory of product. Do you ignore your views on future direction and sell it as you produce it as you are able, or do you, I don't want to use the word speculate, but do you try to time those things if you think it makes sense to do so?
We're producing 20 million liters of base oil a year, and our storage capacity for product is very limited.
Okay.
So we sell into the market as we produce, basically.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from James Morrison from Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just a follow-up question to Sarah's there. With the new information that you're providing on the industrial side, is there much variability between all the assets included in the industrial segment in terms of margins?
I guess we'll be speaking to a bit of that as we release those results into 2013. As Al said, in an industrial, your bigger assets will be Ville St. Catherine and North Van, and then the rest are going to be in Stony Creek. So those are going to be your three bigger assets, and then they're going to be supplemented by all the other industrial facilities we have across the country. So there's some variability with margins for those assets, and as we go through the quarters, we'll just speak to those variances.
But would you say there's any dramatic differences between all of them? Like, is 130 and 1.5, or are they all somewhat characterized by your blended average?
Yeah, I don't think it's overly dramatic. I mean, you'll have base oil impacts with North Van, so depending on if everything is stable with base oil, then you're not going to have much impact there. And if everything is stable with BSC, then between Stony Creek, it'll be more by coincidence that they'll all be relatively the same, but they all do follow different models. But again, I don't imagine it's going to be. I don't think it's that dramatically different between the three or the balance of the facilities.
Okay, great. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have no further questions, Mr. Cadot. Please go ahead, sir.
Oh, it's Stephanie here. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. We do have a tape broadcast available on the New Alta website, and we look forward to speaking with you again at the end of the first quarter in 2013.
Thank you. The conference call has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time. We thank you for your participation.